The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, recently I had the occasion to have desire for a Buddhist statue, and so I had this desire, but then later I had the occasion to offer something to someone, and then I compared the state of my mind wanting the Buddha statue versus my state of mind in wanting to and giving this thing away. And for me, I could see when I wanted the Buddha statue, my mind went kind of got closer in and got a little bit tighter, more constricted, or a little bit more narrow, and maybe even a little bit tense. And in a way that I, you know, probably if I wasn't mindful, I wouldn't even have recognized it. It required a certain degree of sensitivity to feel it, even a to occur, to look in that direction, to notice, but I could feel. And in the giving away, the desire to offer something, I could feel the same area of my mind open up and feel expansive and feel relaxed. And that contrast between those two is where wisdom resides, to see that. And to see that it's more valuable to have this expansive mind than to have a Buddha statue. I mean, the Buddha statue is pointing to that mind. That's what it's all about. Don't you know, lose the mind for the Buddha statue. That's ridiculous. What's precious is this mind that's at ease, that's open, that's not uncontracted, unconstricted, and that's free in some way. It doesn't have to be a dramatic idea of like liberating, enlightening freedom, but just a very simple kind of, there's a kind of sense of ease and relaxation and openness that the tensions of the mind have relaxed. That is phenomenally important. To feel that, to know that, to see that in your own mind is to see a treasure, is to discover something really, really valuable. That's the Buddha. That's the key for this whole practice of the Dharma, is to recognize that in yourself and then stay close to it. Sometimes that whole feeling that I felt it in my mind, but it was really a somatic experience. It was a physical experience. It just happened to be in my head, but it was very physical in nature. And sometimes I have the same kind of contrast around my heart. My heart gets small and tight, and sometimes it feels more open and relaxed. Sometimes it's my belly that something is going on there, and the belly feels more at ease, and there it is. There's the Buddha belly. And so if you can, in this practice, that when time comes, sometimes it takes a while, that you yourself will begin experiencing that contrast. You'll see that distinction with these two different ways of being. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be like, you know, like over-the-top contraction or over-the-top relaxation. But you can start seeing it. Then you start seeing the Dharma in yourself. You start seeing the path in yourself. You become your own teacher in a certain way. See, there it is. Oh, there, that's the mind. That's the heart. That's the belly that that we're trying to stay close to and live with and be guided by and be informed by. And what informed by means is that if you have some sense of ease, peace, you know, I can go through a list of possible words for it, then that helps highlight for you the opposite when you get contracted, when you get tense. And that's one of the functions of practice, is not to keep you relaxed all the time. That's impossible. One of the functions is to provide you with reference point so you're much more sensitive and attentive and alert to how you get contracted or get tight. So you can see it and know it. And so for me, when I had this thing with the Buddha statue, it wasn't that dramatic, the degree of contraction in my mind, the narrowing of my mind. It would have been really easy to have not noticed it. It would have been really easy just to be so interested in what's going on or interested in the statue. But I think because of these years of training that I've done in practice, I'm much more attuned to the subtlety of it. And that subtlety, then I could be my teacher. I could see and understand what was most valuable, important place for me to be, not in the wanting the Buddha statue, but in a sense, you know, be the Buddha statue in that very simple way that I'm talking about today. So as you go through this practice, then you'll start seeing that contrast, and that contrast can be part of your guide, part of your support, and part of the recognition, oh yeah, there it is, this is right, this is a good place, this is the teacher that helps me move forward. So that's about all I had to say, but there is a little bit more time. And if any of you would like to ask a question, I'd be happy to try to respond or at least hear your question. Yes, Anne, but let's use a mic. They're here. Daryl will bring it.
Thank you. Recently I was back in Illinois and I went to an art show at Northwestern University, and it was about experiencing nature and ecology with your body, and it had little cards with suggestions like go listen to the wind and different kinds of trees and see if there's a difference. But the one I really tried was stand in front of a tree and sing that song, Stand, Stand By Me. You know that song. Yeah. And which you can do looking normal because I don't know the words, so I just had it on my phone. So I was standing under a tree looking at my phone, you know. And it's the reversal of what usually I think, oh, plants, we take care of them. We give them water and compost and stuff. But this was asking the tree to take care of me, you know. So sometimes I think that reversal, sometimes doing the opposite of what you think, does that help you? I mean, I think it helps you somehow that jump from what you're used to the other one, that thing in midair. Mm-hmm. It seems like it can help you with Buddhism. It seems like some of the old stories, maybe in Zen, where there's a student asks the teacher something and then the teacher says the opposite, that jump between the two things is helpful. Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's great. A very useful thing to do in a wise life is to reframe the propositions we live by, to reframe the story, reframe our desires, reframe our view, our opinions. Reframe it and try it out and see what goes on, what shifts with a different perspective. Because sometimes we get stuck in a certain framework, certain opinion about things. Mm-hmm. So I think reframing is a great thing. And so rather than being the giver, be the receiver. Try that out and see what that's like, you know, with the tree. Sometimes when we feel like we really want something from someone else, like, you know, reframe it. Say, let me give that to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I want this person to, I want people to be more friendly to me, and no one's being friendly enough, and I need more friendly people, right. And where are the friendly people, and there's no friendly people here, and why are they not being friendly to me? I'm just fuming, right? Yeah. So if you really have a need, try offering that to someone, the other people, mm-hmm. people. And that's a reframing. That's a doing the reversal that you're talking about. It's a wonderful, wise thing to do, and it can really clarify and change relationships and dynamics in fascinating ways.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, everyone. I guess it's more of a comment. I was just thinking about the body as a consultant, and it's been one of my most reliable consultants, but I fail to listen a lot. And I was thinking about just the practice and meditating and thinking about, like, I was thinking about those old analog stereos where you have to, like, you hear the static and you have to, like, tune in to get to the station.
Yeah.
And I'm in a, like, crossroads in my life, you know, often. And like, that's just how I've been thinking. Like, maybe I'm going to try, this is just, you know, maybe I'm going to try meditating. Like, I'm trying to tune into the station of the body and see what it has to tell me. And so that really just spoke to me as, like, oh, yeah, the body has, and there are felt answers. They're not discursive. I just feel like, for now, I'm going to focus my practice on pretending I have that analog tune. And just feel and see when I can feel that, oh, this makes me tight. This makes me open.
I love it. I love the idea of the analog thing, because in digital world, you just push a button and it's like that. The analog, you have to kind of find the right setting. So you have to make the work a little bit. So with yourself, like, where, how do I do that? How do I tune in right here? And where do I tune in? And that kind of feeling your way in. Like, you had to listen carefully to hear. I think it's fantastic.
Try it.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. So my question is how not to
keep...
Oh, so I don't, you know, I want to get better and not hold scores. Like, I called you, you know, it'd been so many months, you didn't call me and all that. I know you will say, don't keep the score, but how not to keep the score?
I don't know what to say to you, but in terms of this question of reframing something, let's reframe the way that you're talking about it. Don't stop keeping score.
Okay.
But instead, keep score in a different way. Mm. Is there a better way to keep score?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Maybe keep score, keep record of all the kindnesses. Mm. Keep score of all the things you're grateful for. So it might be hard to stop keeping score. So if it's hard, just change the scorecard. Mm. And maybe do gratitude.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. So thank you very much. And so we're going to do this cleaning of the center. And